Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, baby.
That's how I feel. I feel like I'm deflating.
Okay.
Remember how it starts with a sigh?
Yeah, we actually had some people write in and say they really liked how we started the episode off with a sigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to sigh it out sometimes. You got to just sigh out all the feels. I have a therapy appointment in an hour and a half, and I feel like I'm going to be doing a lot of sighing.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be the first. So we didn't really touch on this yet because we didn't put an episode out on time last week. But it's going to be the first therapy appointment I've had since Bigby died. Mm-hmm. For those of you who have been listening to the show for any extended period of time, you more than likely have become pretty familiar with who Bigby is. Bigby is the large, slobbery dog that Brody and I have cared for the last, almost 10 years. Actually, it would have been 9 years in November. That would have been his ninth birthday. And, he's made quite a few appearances on our show. In the background, making, licking his nuts or any other variety of like gross sounds. He was a very
mouth sounds.
Yeah, he was
he had a big mouth.
He had a big mouth. He literally. I watched a story this morning of an Instagram story of a hippo eating a full watermelon. That was Bigby. Every time I see, I can't
How
see
come
hippos
you didn't
now.
Send me that. I would love that kind of video.
I didn't send it because I got really sad. I got really sad when I saw it. I can't look at hippo videos anymore without getting really bummed out. But yeah, we had to put Bigby down last Monday. So if you're listening to this as the podcast came out, it's been about a week and a half now. Mm-hmm. And fuck, man. Just like, we don't have to go deep into it, but like it, Bridie, you and I basically what happened was you took him to the vet. I had left Bigby on PEI to hang out with you and Todd and your guys' dog Rose for the last few weeks because you guys are currently living in this very beautiful, idyllic cabin on the ocean. And it's kind of like free reign. You don't gotta care where the dogs are. You can let them out and they can live their little dog lives. And when I first brought Bigby there, the plan was like, go to the island, visit you guys, hang out for a couple of days, take Bigby back to the house.
Yeah.
But when I got there, I was like, oh my God, I would be such a bad dog dad if I took him away from this when I can easily leave him here for another week, maybe two, and then just come back and get him the next time I come out. Mm-hmm. And that ended up like extending into about a 3 week, maybe 3.5 week period. And while that was going on, you took Bigby to the vet because his gums were all fucking swelled up. His teeth were basically just disappearing into his gums, which I was convinced was just like, you know, old French Mastiff bullshit. But when you took him in, it turned out the gums were our least of our worries. Mm-hmm. And unbeknownst to us, Bigby has been fading. He had been fading pretty quickly and his heart wasn't doing too good. Long story short, they basically gave us the news that they had strongly advised that we put him down ASAP. And that was on a Thursday. And so when Bridie called me to inform me that that's what they said, I just asked that we wait until Monday. So we give him the weekend. And so that's what we did. We gave Bigby the weekend. Like, we gave him the fucking weekend at Bernie's, like, probably not a good analogy there, but...
No, do you know, have you seen that
Yeah,
movie?
I have, yeah. But it's such a fun weekend movie, you know?
Right.
But we gave him, like, yeah, we gave him the most amazing send-off. He probably ate 100 Timbits. Was just getting pet so much by so many people. And then Monday we had to put him down, and it was the hardest thing that I've ever done in my entire life. And
it's fucking hard. You know, I had never felt anything like that before, and I've lost people. I honestly, like,
this is your year of loss. Like,
yeah,
you're going through it all.
I think I said to Todd at one point, like, I haven't felt this heartbroken since my sister died, and that was like a very traumatic loss. And I think it was just like, it's not the same kind of loss, but it comes from this like different place than I think losing a human. I think because, you know, we had him his whole life from beginning to end, you know, and then we, like, it was our job to keep him alive. And then, yeah, at the end of the day, we were the ones who, like, I mean, the vet was like, we all want to hope that our loved furry family members are just going to pass peacefully in their sleep, but mostly that doesn't happen. And usually people wait way too long to come in and euthanize because our pets don't, most of the time, they don't tell us when they're really not feeling well.
That's the hardest part. It's just like, you know, it's like, and that was the thing, is we didn't know.
Yeah.
But having said all that, and as sad as that is and as sad as that was,
mm-hmm,
I mean, like, that I'm so grateful that we had that weekend to give him because it was really special. And there was a lot of really special memories made in that weekend. And I think it also made it a lot easier, you know, like it made it a lot easier to, it gave us 3 days, full days to like process, okay, like, in, you know, in 72 hours, you're not going to be with us. In 48 hours, you're going to be gone. In 24 mm-hmm hours, this is it. Like, our last 24 hours. And yeah, and when we put him down, he looked so comfy and was so...
It was interesting to see how his whole body relaxed. And like, you could see, now when I look at videos from like that weekend, and I just see like the stiffness and tension in his body compared to that moment, you know, when he just let go. That was that's kind of an image I'm trying to remember to hold him, because when I look at videos and I'm like, oh my God, that's what that's at least what healthy and happy looks like, you know? And yeah, I don't know. It was super, super, super hard. And
but I want to
definitely, definitely feel still feeling pretty. I had a good cry about it last night. I was definitely still feeling pretty raw about it.
Yeah, I thought I was done crying, and then and I say that like every day, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done crying now. And then something happens, and I start crying again. But I want to say this one thing that I really want to put this out there is that I cannot believe how overwhelmed I am of by the amount of people that have reached out to like say sweet and kind things. It like so many people that there's I have anxiety just thinking about even attempting to respond to everyone.
Yeah.
Literally my Instagram DMs is like there's well over 180 messages that I just like, I'm not going to get back to them all. So for everyone who did reach out, I swear to God, I read every single one of those messages. But if you don't hear back from me, it's just because there's so many of you, it scares me. But it means the fucking world to me. So thank you so much for all the kind words. And and Bigby is, you know, I think some days I'm just going to like sit down and go back into the Termion catalog and go back 40 episodes and just hear him click clacking around in the background or, you know, like snorking on his balls or snoring or whatever the fuck, it, farting. I mean, he's just done it all on this show, really. He added all the ambiance. But anyway, that is why we didn't put an episode on Wednesday. We were supposed to put that C-Can episode on the Wednesday, but we just couldn't do it, so we did it on Friday. And
thanks for understanding and all of your patience.
Yeah, thanks all y'all. Hey, do you want a palate cleanser here? We'll change it up, shake it up, get a little fresh. I saw this article come in from the National Post, and I was like, "Oh my god, this has to be on our show." It's coming from Devika Desai, is the author of this article.
Devika,
yeah. Woman finds out from wedding announcement that ex-husband had cheated on her with new bride. When Robert Palmer spotted Lauren Malian
rhymes with alien.
When Robert Palmer spotted Lauren Malian lifting weights at his gym in 2017, in January of 2017, the dates are important here. January 2017, he sees Lauren. Immediately, sparks flew. Their first date, 2 days later, turned into a second. And by May, Palmer had moved in with Malian and her two children. By August 2nd, 2020, they were married in an art museum in Connecticut. The New York Times published an announcement about Palmer's and Malian's fairy tale wedding on August 7th. 3 weeks later, an article appeared in the New York Post titled, quote, "I found out my ex cheated on me from his wedding announcement," unquote. It was written by Palmer's ex-wife, Nikita, who said she had been married to Palmer when he began dating Malian. The wedding announcement was, quote, "news to me," Marino wrote, quote, "because I was his wife in January 2017. We split in late March of that year, officially divorcing in January of 2018, and I never exactly understood why." So he met Lauren in January and
went on a couple of dates
and moved in by May. And at this point, he was still married, and it was only in March that he got separated from his wife. So,
well, Robert Palmer.
According to the New York Times article, Palmer had never been married, but Marino wrote that she and the fitness entrepreneur had married in a civil ceremony in 2015, 2 years after they met. Quote, but we also planned a big wedding for August 12, 2017 in his hometown of Dallas, she wrote.
Okay. Wait. They were never married?
No, they were. They were married. They were, they had married. A civil ceremony. A little courthouse marriage.
Well.
Can you imagine? Palmer. Can you imagine that's
Isn't
how
that
you
the name
out?
Of a drink?
A Robert Palmer?
Oh no, that's an Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, you're thinking of Fight Club. His name was Robert Palmer. Oh wait, no. That's not that name, is it? His name.
It's all a fucking simulation.
His name is Robert Paulson. That's it. His name is Robert Paulson. God, that movie is so.
Is that still your favorite movie?
No. That was never my favorite movie.
Yes, it was. It was your favorite movie when we started dating.
Oh, yeah. It was my favorite movie when I was in first year of university, just like every fucking first year university student. Are you kidding me? I'm much more cultured now. My favorite movie of all time
is Weekend at Bernie's.
That's right.
That's a Friends reference for my Friends fans out there. They're playing a trivia, the guys against the girls in Friends, to see who's going to win, the girl who gets to live in the girl's apartment. And one of the trivia questions is, what does Rachel say her favorite movie is? And I can't remember. It's like Ghost or something. But what's her real favorite movie? Weekend at Bernie's.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And a nice little callback joke, because earlier in the episode, I had mentioned Weekend at Bernie's.
Can we explain more?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could explain more about this this marriage thing. 3 months later, things abruptly changed, she wrote. In March, she said she noticed a change in Palmer's personality and had offered to stay for a week at a friend's place after he asked for space. When she came back, Palmer asked her for a divorce.
What a shithead.
This is very reminiscent of my dad.
Just be honest.
I know.
I mean, it's way easier to say that than
easier said than done. Easier said than done. I get it, but also don't be a fucking badoink-a-doink.
Yeah, you know what? Because we're all gonna die, so nothing. Just fucking say it.
Nothing matters. Literally, we are so insignificant. It's crazy.
Your fucking feelings don't matter.
I went camping on this island this past weekend, and stars were out. And I was looking up in the sky, and I was maybe a little high on acid. And I was just thinking to myself, like, man, the universe does not give a fuck about me.
Mm-mm.
You know, like I was looking at this ant on the ground. And I was like, I could just crush that ant without any remorse, without any effort. I could just go down with my finger and just go sploop. And I go,
end of life.
Yeah. And I was like, that's exactly the way the universe sees me. Mm-hmm. It's like, look at this little thing down there. This little microscopic thing. I could just crush that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on a similar wavelength with my thinking lately. The other day, it's like, I know all of this is fucking obvious. And I feel like, our relationship in a huge way, you know, it had to do with this feeling I had that, like, oh, I've lost someone before. I can deal with losing someone.
You mean your and I relationship?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Like, you know, knowing I was going into a partnership where I would likely outlive my partner. I mean, we all fucking know that everyone we love is going to die.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. Every one of them. Yeah.
And yet at the same time, yeah, especially after this year, like two grandmothers, my dad and my dog, and then, of course, the fucking whole planet. But I'm like, oh my God, I've just reached the point in my life now where this is just reality. Now, people I know are just gonna die all the time.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, no. Like, you know what I mean? It's like that. I think that becomes a reality when you turn, you know, when you get to your grandmother's age. You know, like that's where people start. That's where people start dropping like flies. It's like, but you wake up and it's like, oh, Phyllis is dead today. Oh,
it's expected. Basically, everything that happens between now and then, like there are a few that I can anticipate.
Right.
parentals.
Me.
You know, you. Yeah, I just, I, can you just definitely.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to die. Honestly, I don't, I'm at this point now.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be dead. I'm not dead yet. And so, you know, it's not impossible for me to never die. I might just never die now. You know, I was supposed to be dead by the time I'm 30. I'm 32, so I might live to 132.
Mm-hmm. And you look and sound well.
I mean, look, I just woke up, and this is what I look like.
You woke up like that?
This is what I look like when I wake up.
That's pretty good.
If you want to see what that looks like, go to patreon.com/turnmeon because we are now publishing our four plays in video. And you can see how... Like, one second, I'll show you again.
That is how you wake up. That is, I have multiple videos of you sleeping too. So if any of our patrons would just like exclusive videos of you sleeping, those are pretty cute as well.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah.
Is someone else living in the house now? Because I've been seeing some things in the background, and also
you've been seeing. No one else has been
on my Instagram. I'm like, I know that mirror.
Right. Oh, right. Oh my God. Right.
But it's funny
All right, listen, folks. I'm in love. All right. Oh, Jesus Christ! I'm pulling shit out of my ears. Oh my God. That's it. Now I can hear you. I've just fucked my whole headphones up. I'm just a bumbling Bambi idiot. I'm Twitter-pated in love with someone. And whatever, I fucking said I'm in love. I said it. All right, I fucking said it. And I've said it out loud. That's it.
You?
Her name is Leah, and she's very special.
Might be just on a fucking... You might be a, I don't know. I don't know what the word is. You're addicted to love.
I am. I love love.
I read a really interesting article. I know we're going to get to something else, but I read a really interesting article that Esther Perel shared.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the Brain Pickings website, no. brainpickings.org. So there's a curator, let's say, of this site, of this website, and it's called Brain Pickings, and it publishes these pieces of writing that draw from different like writers, philosophers, thinkers, musicians, poets, etc., and compiles them, writes these like basically little uplifting essays. And so the one that I read today.
Very cool.
The website?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is cool. The one that that Esther Perel shared today or yesterday, whatever it was, in mm-hmm. her email, her newsletter, which I highly recommend signing up for if you just want access to cool like references, is called Neuroscientist David Eagleman on How the Physiology of Drug Withdrawal Explains the Psychology of Heartbreak and Loss.
Wow.
Yeah. Good. So, basically, what it was saying is that your brain only changes in response to something being different than the way you expect it to be. So, for example, like your brain adjust if you're taking if I'm smoking a lot of weed, let's say my brain, I think it says, I'm paraphrasing here, like increases essentially the receptors in your brain for that, and so that it can have some sort of state of homeostasis. Mm. And that's why you have to take more of a drug to feel an effect, because your brain is used to and assumes a certain amount of it in your system.
Yeah, it's like if you took acid, if you took a hit of acid today, like one tab, and you wanted to keep that high going tomorrow, you're gonna have to do two tabs to like feel, like one's just not going to kick it because you're... Mm-hmm. Your brain's like, yeah, we've already carved those neural pathways out. You gotta ramp it up a bit here.
Yeah. So it was basically saying, like, then to relate that to heartbreak is like the people that you love and the people you spend time with, or the dogs, or whatever, they actually live they are actually in your physiology. Like you have imprint of them in your memories, in your right. mind. And so when they cease to be there, it's taking away something your brain expects to be there. So it's similar to withdrawal.
Right.
From a drug. Anyway, I just thought that was sort right. of interesting and relevant.
And so you're comparing my new love to my addiction.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? There's worse things to be addicted to. Mm. I'll tell you that yeah. much.
Yeah.
I mean, it is interesting to think about that. You know, it's like, does that? Because I've thought about this. I've thought about this quite a bit. Especially in like in diving headfirst into this new relationship, where I've thought like, you know, especially early on, I was like, is this beyond a rebound and more so like into like trying to replace something that is no longer there? And I don't know what the answer is to that. I certainly don't think that. If that is the case, I certainly don't think that that's the only thing that's happening, you know, yeah. because I don't know. Like and if that is the case, like, is there something wrong with that? I don't know. I don't, mm-hmm. I still look at love the same way that I looked at like our love when we first started hanging out in that way, in the sense that like, okay. And you kind of like, you touched on it earlier. It's like, I don't fucking have long to live. Mm. In my mind, like I was joking earlier. I actually don't think I'm going to live forever. Newsflash.
But you wake up looking
but
like
I wake
that.
Up, I do wake up looking like this. If you want to see that, turn me on Patreon, patreon.com/turnme.
$5 and up.
Yeah, and so it's like I realize that like I don't have much time left, and so I don't want to squander my fucking time. I don't want to waste my time here. I want to make the most out of it. And so if I start to I've jokingly said this hundreds of times where it's like I fall in love 5 times a day. Like,
yeah,
you know, a
yeah.
pretty girl walks by and makes eye contact with me and smiles. I'm like, "Well, I guess I'm in love now." And there's a part of me that like that is kind of true in that, you know, my heart will swell and I'll go, wow, you know, that person just made my day.
And then you go and you write your classified note, missed connections.
Yeah. but when it comes to like spending significant time around somebody else and like wholly, fully enjoying that time without being in my head and thinking about, you know, I mean, whatever the things are that come up in your head when you're starting, like when you're starting to see someone new for the first time, it's like, you know, the things of, like, I don't want to say what those things might be because I don't want to expose what the fuck goes on in my head when I'm hanging out with certain people. But, you know, I'm not in my head about spending time with this person other than constantly just feeling like pure fucking heart, like hardcore elation and going, okay, well, that's enough for me. Like, I don't, that this is that I want, this is what I want then. This is what I want to like pursue and follow and like commit to. And it was the same thing about when you and I first started dating. It was like, I was feeling that and I went, all right, well, fuck it. I'm going to ask her to marry me because, like, mm-hmm. this feels good and I love her. So I'm not going to fucking squander this time. Like, I'm going to make it worth it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know I've told that story to people before where I've talked about our relationship and how I asked you to marry me and like the, you know, how young I was and how, all the things that surrounded that scenario, and you can see on people's faces like, oh, so you made a mistake. Like you rushed into that. you know, or whatever. But in my mind, it's like, no, I didn't fucking rush into anything. I acknowledged that this is not normal. This is like, this is definitely spontaneous and not thought through.
Turned out pretty great.
But it's not thought through for a reason, because it's like, that's how, that's me. That's who I am. It was like having Bigby. We didn't go looking for a dog. We lived in a fucking apartment where we weren't allowed to have dogs. And I saw this dog and I went, well, I'm in love with the dog. It's looking at it looked right into my eyes and smiled. I'm taking this dog, and we're not, and we can't have a dog right now. And it sure worked out.
Yeah. You know?
And I feel like I'm in that scenario right now where I'm going, well, you just came out of a pretty tumultuous breakup. 2020 sucks. You're fucking, people are dying around you. Everything's horrible. Things are great in your career. But aside from that, life sucks. And meet this person who's just like this, like, radiating fucking light of like healing and beauty and funny and smart. And I'm just like, well, I think I'm actually in love. And fuck what society thinks. Fuck all other things. I'm diving into the deep end of this pool with my eyes closed and no helmet on. And there's maybe, who knows if there's even water in it. I don't know.
Oh, babe. Open your eyes. Just at least make sure there's some fucking water in the pool.
This one little, this creep the eye. You can't see this, folks, unless you're on Patreon, but I'm just looking through one eye.
A master of facial expressions, this one is.
yeah, anyway.
Oh, God.
I'm so happy, Bridie.
That's so glad. That's so glad.
It's so glad. there's people listening right now that are like, ugh, gross. Can we fucking move on?
Can you guys go back to talking about dying and death? Because that was really more my speed. That's really more in line with where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm really glad. And you know, for honesty's sake and for our listeners' sake, I don't know this person that you're in love with, which is super weird. And I,
you'll get to know her.
Yeah, I will. And, but I'm still in PEI and I'm watching you in
Halifax.
In Halifax and in the house that we've been living in together for the last 7 years or so. And the house that is probably not going to be the house that we're living in together.
Not. Yeah, maybe not in a month.
And
we're selling the house.
And this person who I'm looking forward to getting to know, I've now followed them on Instagram. And so
I saw that.
And I can see photos. A photo posted that is clearly from inside that house. And all of a sudden, it's good for me and us to, and probably for our listeners to know that, like, even all things said and considered and done in our relationship, and there are still twinges of like, oh, that's my spot.
Oh yeah,
spot.
Yeah, you never told me this. So are you feeling jealousy?
No, I don't think I would describe it as jealousy. I think I would describe it as a bit of a sense of loss.
Right. In what sense? Like what? Like a loss of me, or a loss of a part of me, or is it more so to do with the space?
Well, it's way more than the space, but it's not a loss of you. It's just a change. It's just it's a change, and change is hard. Mm. And looking through my computer screen or my phone or my Instagram into my home and knowing that it's not really, like, I can't, like, I want to stop thinking of it as home, because I feel like I need transition time. Like I need to start telling myself, I can't just close my eyes and be like, well, we'll just see what happens next. You know, like I have to manage the process of change as it's happening. Mm. I can't just like jump. I at least what I'm feeling is I need to honor the process of change and loss. Mm. Rather than just going, well, this is just what happens in life. People move and they sell their houses and they change their living situations, because that doesn't really honor kind of where my heart is at. And it's a lot of change.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you think that, and you know, I think a big part of this probably has to do with the fact that like you've been living away from this space since late 2019, you know, like since December, or when did you leave?
I left in December
of 2019,
13th or 14th. Yeah.
You know, like you've been home maybe since that time, since December 2019, you've been home for
like
maybe, well,
10 days?
maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe 2 weeks.
You know,
because
you were here when your father came here, and we hung out with him here for a little bit before he went back to PEI, and then you went back there once COVID started getting bad, and your dad was obviously not going to be doing too well. You went there and you haven't left, and then you came back. Well, you came back for about 3 days in between.
It's
2 weeks. Yeah, it's like you've you know. You've been so far from here, and it is crazy to think that like by the end of this month, or maybe not, that's actually a little too soon, but like by the end of October, this place will no longer be ours. You know, like we literally might have a completely separate space in the city.
Yeah,
and it's kind of wild to think that like this place really hasn't been ours since you left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's been like, it's just been mine and Bigby's.
But it's been 7 years in that house.
Yes,
and
yeah.
That's the longest that I've lived anywhere.
Yeah.
By a long shot.
Yeah.
By like 6 years, you know,
mm-hmm.
since I was a teenager. And I'm looking into it and I'm thinking, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, otherwise I wouldn't be taking up time on our podcast to talk about it, but looking into, you know, four walls and a roof that I, you know, we always had roommates living with us, you know. Mm. It was always like I really like worked really hard to make that place feel like a home.
I wonder
what's going to happen to it. Like I actually, like I know you were never really crazy about it there, but I have a love for that house, and
I have a love for this house though too. I do love this house.
I don't feel like you, that's true.
No, that's true. I do love this house. I love this place, but you're right in that this wasn't the place that, this wasn't my like, I never looked at this place as my forever home.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I think I always looked at it in terms of like the possibility of what it could be, you know, if we ever got around to ever having money to put into it or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I like to dream about that space, and it's so funny because, you know, it probably not even like practical to imagine like putting work into it, and clearly it wasn't something that we were actively working towards, whereas like some folks, that's the thing. It's like you get your place and then you start making it, like you invest in it, and I feel like that we never really did. We made that room look pretty fucking sweet though.
Yeah, I put a lot of work into this room. Yeah, and if you want to see this room, go to patreon.com/turnmeon. You can actually see the room behind me.
You can spend time in it four times a week for every intro, or four times a month.
That's right. Yeah. Until we sell it to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was
sorry. I'm sorry that Leah's presence in the house makes you feel a certain way.
Well, don't be sorry that it makes me feel a certain way, because it's okay to feel things, and it's natural part of it. And yeah, I certainly don't wish she wasn't there.
No, of course not. No, I don't think that's what you're saying either.
No,
I think I'm really looking forward to the time, which I'm assuming is going to be pretty soon, where the four of us get to hang out.
Yeah,
and you get to know her.
Yeah,
because she's
I get it, a ray of fucking sunshine.
She's pretty special, and I think
way more special than me is what you're saying.
Oh, hey. The fuck, man?
No, I'm just teasing you. I'm just teasing you.
God, I hope she's not listening to this episode. She's going to be like, oh my God, Bridie hates me.
No, I certainly don't feel that way at all.
No, I know.
Can you hear my mom yelling in the background? She's yelling into the telephone. Here she comes. She's shutting the door. oh my God. It's just, I feel so displaced. I drive from my place, my beautiful cabin on the ocean where there's no internet, to my mom's apartment, you know, where my dad just lived until he died, and my grandmother lived until she died just shortly before he lived here and died.
Yeah, it was just like they tag teamed out.
And now, and like my sister is going through a divorce. My mom's going through a divorce. My sister's moving back out to the West Coast and renting out her house here and moving all of her stuff into this apartment. And I'm just I feel like I'm in the fucking cyclone.
It's the Twilight Zone.
It is the Twilight Zone. It's the Twilight Zone for sure. My cousins just walked in. I haven't seen them since I was sitting next to them in my grandmother's hospital room back in like November, and they were like, hey, how are you doing? And I was like, actually, I'm pretty raw. I just started like bawling, and they were like, can we hug you? You gotta ask. People are getting really good at asking if they can hug you.
Dude, I'm the worst for COVID. That I'm so bad for that. And I definitely need to be the one that's good at for that. Like I just see people that I love in my life, and I'm like I saw Fraser. Fraser's a good pal of ours who lives on PEI. And this was like when I first came to PEI. So this was like when, you know, it was even, things were even more
screwy.
And I saw Fraser, and I was like, hey, and I ran up and gave him a hug, and I could feel his like reaction. Of being like, whoa, I don't even hug people in my bubble. And I just was like, play it cool, play it cool, play it cool. Like, I just didn't fucking bring it up. I was like, good to see you. Hey, like in my head, I'm going, look, if this guy is hugging you, then you're all right.
Yeah.
Stupid. Turn Me On podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, do you want to just throw right into the conversation?
No.
Oh, you want to do this brain boner thing?
I do. Okay. I do. And right. And
well, then you preface it. You set it up for us there, baby.
Okay. So what I wanted to do was, especially, you know, since you're mentioning going to therapy and we're talking about processing things, we had reached out to a past guest who does some counseling to respond to the brain boner that we responded to last week about our listener who is going through a sort of a complicated change as well in their relationship. And we both offered our thoughts, or I offered my thoughts and you sort of agreed with them. And then when we got this response from Tia, who again is our past guest and does counseling out in British Columbia, and we listened to her response, I was like, this is a far, far better, like, and more heartfelt. Not more heartfelt, but like, you know, she's professional. She's got some professional advice to offer.
She knows her. Yeah, she knows her shit.
Yeah, and so I wanted to play that for our listeners, so that they can hear, because I think there's something pretty healing in what Tia says, that we can all benefit from. So again, this is a response to last week's brain boner about. Basically, sort of breaking up, moving on from a really important friendship.
Now, let's check it out.
Hey, Bridie and Jarrah, thanks so much for sharing this brain boner with me. First, want to comment on just how difficult a situation like this can be in the most normal of times. And to be going through something like this during COVID and 2020, I just want to speak to this person's resilience and their flexibility. And, you know, what amazing strengths that they've had going through this situation. So I just want to commend them on that. Any advice on how to move on from a friend who you relied on as a partner? I feel like a lot of the feelings that you have and have had over the last year, you're really stuck with on your own. And those feelings occurred in relationship, not only in relationship to N, but also in relationship to S. And not being able to communicate those feelings really has you stuck with the weight of them. And one of my favorite Buddhist quotes is, holding on to anger, you can replace that with jealousy or hurt, is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. Really, you're the one in the end who gets burned. And you're burning. And you must be in so much pain right now and feeling sort of alone. But these feelings happened in relationship, and it would be important to share in relationship kind of the experiences that you've been having in order to heal from that. A lot of times people will consider, you know, the more activating feelings or the more negative, quote unquote, feelings of anger, hurt, and jealousy, and put a lot of weight on those when they go into communication with their partner and their metamour or their partners. And I would encourage you, before going into communication, in just kind of sitting with the complexity of all of the feelings that you have. So the beginning of this brain boner, there's so much love, there's so much hope and excitement. And I do believe that part of that is still there. There's been a lot of hurt along the way and a lot of, you know, things that you've really had to roll with that you didn't expect to. So how can you hold your love and your respect for N, and also your anger and your jealousy and your hurt all together? Oftentimes people will go, I love them, but I'm jealous and I'm hurt and they did these sorts of things. But feelings are way more complex than that. We can hold multiple feelings at the same time. And so I would encourage you to sit with all of them and be really honest with yourself. And then again, sharing those in relationship so that you can have that healing in relationship. And I wish you the best of luck.
Well, there we go.
Tia also wanted to add this, that the relationship in which this healing can occur does not have to be the original relationship in which the hurt happened. We are a social, interrelated species, and when we are heard in a safe relationship, healing can happen in relationship with somebody who is safe and secure, and knowing who that is so that you can trust them with this will be very important.
Whenever I hear whenever I hear people like Tia speak, and there's several other people out there that I've had this experience with. Chris Hadfield, the astronaut, he was one as well. Where, like, whenever I'm spending time around people like them, I always feel so inadequate. You know, like Tia is so, she is just so smart and so, and just so, like, so welcoming and sweet. That human. Oh, if you don't know, Tia's been on our show a couple of times. She was a live show guest at one point, and we recorded in studio once. And actually, she's gonna be our live show guest for our upcoming show at Sate in Calgary this coming week. It's a virtual show, and we're really excited to have her on board for that. But yeah, just you know, one of those people that just love hearing her thoughts and hearing her speak, and a great teacher she is. So thank you for that, Tia. Thanks for adding to that. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, that was all in relation to a brain burner that we had last week on the show. So go back to last week's episode and give that a listen if you are feeling a bit lost.
The brain burner itself is narrated by my mama.
That's right. cool. Well, now what?
Now what? Well,
want to go into our conversation?
Well,
I mean, we're 49 minutes in. Do you want to just fucking save?
Let's save it.
You want to save?
Save it.
So this is just this is a host episode now. All right.
Woo! That's how it happens, folks. That's how the magic happens.
That is literally how this podcast works. We are just flying by the seat of our pants.
I gotta plug in my laptop, or everything's gonna get lost.
I feel like this is good. I feel like this is we're still a bit out of sorts with everything that happened last week. Still trying to like get caught up in life when we just basically put life on pause for a long weekend with Bigby. And so yeah, I think this is probably for the best. Maybe not the most incredible Termion content, but it feels, God damn it, it feels right. It sure does.
You know
feel
what?
Right.
I think we've had a couple of people write in recently, and somebody said that they, you know, that our podcast has evolved, and I like that. I'm a big fan of evolving. So if you're just joining, if this is the first episode that you joined us for, and you're wondering where all the sexy talk is, well, we started out back at our first few episodes were pretty raunchy, but now you've listened to the whole catalog and you know us, and now we're all just buds. So that's why you're still tuning in, right?
Yeah.
Right. You want to do? Yeah.
What did I want to do?
What? I don't know. You were just going to say something.
I was, but you were also about to say something that I wanted to do. And so am I forgetting something?
Well, you wanted to read me. Oh, no. Did we do that? Did you read me the article? You did.
Yeah, I read the article about the guy that cheated on. Yeah, it was. Yeah, we did that. What I was going to say, though, was Oh, I don't know now. Now I don't know. I mean, I was going to say, I was going to talk about like what I was going to, I've been doing a lot of thinking about, I've been doing a lot of listening to Duncan Trussell and his podcast. I think Duncan Trussell is like, I honestly think he is, one of the most like special humans that exist on the planet. Like I just love hearing him talk. I love hearing him talk to other people. I love hearing him like listen and learn from other people. Like he's really fun to listen to. It's fun to like hear him get his mind blown by certain guests and stuff that he's had on his podcast. And one thing that he had Russell Brand on recently, and one of the things they were talking about was like living authentically and not giving a fuck about what like society thinks is like the right way to live, or what society thinks is like the ways that we should, you know, like the certain steps that we need to follow for things to like logically make sense in the order of life. And you know, and that pertaining to whatever, like career or love and relationships or whatever. And it made me like meditate on how I feel like how we all could use a little bit more of that in our lives. And it made me think about the times in my life where I really, unbeknownst to myself, where I really was just like naturally doing that, you know, like naturally living out those parts of my life I don't really care what people think. Like I'm going to do this because it feels right. It feels good. And thinking about those times in my life where I've lived like that and how much it's paid off and how much I've like gained from being in that mode of thinking. And then thinking about how the times in my life where I gave a fuck and I cared too much about what people thought, how much that's taken away from me and how much that's like actually been a detriment to my evolution as a human or, you know, my ability to like grow or my ability to thrive. And I feel like I'm going through one of those, I feel like I'm going through that time right now where like I'm coming back into that sort of mode of, and again, unbeknownst to myself, but now I'm starting to think about it, where I'm coming back into that mode of living without truly giving a flying fuck what society thinks or what the people around me think, and just like doing what, just moving forward in a way that just feels right and feels good and feels like positive, you know? Anyway, that's just something I've been thinking about lately.
That's really great. I can sort of relate to that. And I think I'm coming at it from a slightly different angle, but what I am identifying in terms of what feels good are, you know, if I make a list of the things that like I do for myself to feel good, and I realize, oh, these are all like free, non-capitalist things, like going for laying in the sun, stretching or breathing or like writing or drawing or swimming or like
drinking
all
water.
Of these things, drinking water, exactly. All of these things are like things that feel really good, and I can do all of these things without having to like ask permission or without having to go earn enough money to do these things or, you know, whatever. And I think as the systems are sort of failing around the world, and people are trying to like get some sort of normalcy going again, with the realization that like these systems are trying to fit inside of these systems for some of us is just like been crazy making for so long. And now it's like, oh, there's a glimmer of like, maybe we can make the systems work for more people. Maybe maybe I can like take a step back from participating in all of this in some way. And as long if I can remember that, like, I have been really combating lately my own impulse to like numb out. And it's not like I'm numbing out from pain, I don't think. I feel like I'm wanting to numb out almost from like a sense of, this is super weird to say, and like I'm even a little bit offended that I am saying this, but like a bit of a sense of boredom of like every day I wake up and I make up what I'm going to do that day. And I wing it and I end up at the end of the day and I'm thinking ahead here, like, will I be sort of disappointed in the things that I always get to the end of the day and I'm like, there's still more things that I need to do and like get done before I feel like I'm ready to sleep. And it's just repeating. I think the boringness or the monotonousness that I'm trying to numb out from is just like the cycle of like sort of suffering. And I put that in quotation marks because I know I know that suffering is like, it feels very offensive even to myself to say that I suffer because I have so like little to complain about in general and in my life in terms of like I have the ability to get through the day. And yeah, the society thing and not caring what society is saying is like, that goes for everything. It's like, I don't have to be sexy to have sex. I don't have to be popular to have fun with my friends. I don't have to.
I don't need to like, be popular to have sex.
Yeah. I don't need to have friends to have sex.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to have sex to have sex.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a very contemplative time, but
it is. Yeah.
But those bursts of like freedom from those particular constraints are so valuable, and I'm glad you're diving in to that part, that fun part of feeling free and easy and expressive and authentic.
Me too. I'm just so happy right now.
Good.
About everything. Except for baby dying. I was pretty not happy about that.
But also, how lucky we didn't have to make 100%. Like a fucking game day decision. Like
100%. But I was pretty angry when I was driving to PEI, like the day after you called me. And I was like, well, I guess I got to go to PEI. I was driving. I was listening to the most just aggressive, insanely beefed up death metal, because I was just like, and with like rage tears just flying into my face, being like,
who are you mad at?
The dog gods, you know, just like, just mad at, you know, I was mad that Bigby didn't see his 9th birthday. Like, fuck, he was so close, you know, and mad that, you know, mad that grief is just mad at grief. Just
inevitable.
Mad that grief is like it's just a process of loving. I hate that. Yeah, but.
It is.
But aside from that, I'm really happy.
That's really cool. Yeah. You know, fucking life is really funny. I don't know. I'm going to start to tell you this, and I don't know how far I can get because I don't want to give any sort of identifying features away. But a handful of years ago, I had, not a handful. Within the context of our open relationship, I struck up a relationship with someone I should not have because they were attached to someone else. And anyway, that went on for a little too long, blah, blah, blah. That being said, they are no longer together. I'm no longer in touch with that human. And but their ex-partner sent me an email a couple of days ago because they saw that I had lost Big B. And she was just writing to say that she was really sorry for my loss. And also, she tagged on the end, and also for the loss of your dad. Like, you know, I was just like, that's fucking insane that this person who I wronged continues to be, because we have had quite a bit of email correspondence over all of that time, continues to be someone who, regardless of how shitty my actions were, someone who I know could maybe in a few years could be a really good friend. And we knew that. We knew that while it was happening. That was the craziest thing. We knew that while it was happening. We would openly express, like, our dialogue about the whole thing was like, you know, there's a part of that now that I'm saying out loud and I'm feeling is totally maddening, because it just perpetuates this fucking person who was in the middle of that fucking triangle, needing just fucking parentals, essentially, to parent their childishness. And now, looking back in retrospect, I just can't even. I thought I was in love.
I know. I remember.
I was not.
I know.
Now that I look back on it, I was like, I mean, I don't know. It felt real. It felt pain. Yeah, the pain felt real.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that looking back, you actually weren't in love, really?
Looking back, yeah, I don't think so. I think I was it was the beginning of our opening relationship. It was sort of an infatuation with a certain way that I felt, you know, Esther Perel talks about that all the time. Like, how does this thing make you feel? And it was like, you know, the taboo, which was also in Esther Perel's, newsletter today about why the taboo is so important to eroticism and what it does. And that's so inherent in affairs is like, the taboo, the forbidden, the, you know, the naughty or whatever. But when I look back on it, I feel like giving my head a shake, because I just don't know.
I guess what I'm wondering is, like, you know, do you think that, because it didn't work out, it was clearly a scenario that really, like, crashed and burned. Uh-huh. But if it hadn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it hadn't.
If it hadn't crashed and burned, do you think that feeling of love would have continued? See, this is what I mean by the reason I asked you is because just because it didn't work out doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't actually the feeling of love.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been, not to say, like, love, there's toxic love. Like, love can be shitty. Yeah. Love, and, you know, when love doesn't work out, like, you know.
Yeah, I think looking back on it, there wasn't any trust there.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I think that's a much bigger question than I'm prepared to unpack right now.
Dive into. Yeah,
but it's definitely good food for thought, because it felt real. The loss felt real. But now looking back, I'm like, I could never repeat that.
No, of course.
I could never repeat that. Not only because it was, you know, unfair, but also just like, I can't imagine feeling those things again for that person.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of when I did that whitewater kayaking trip. You know, on that trip, I was like, this is one of the most incredible times of my life. I love every minute of this. And then when that trip was over and I was like 2 months out, I looked back and I went, oh my God, I almost died like a lot. Yeah. And I was terrified every day. I would never do that again. But fuck, that was fun. Yeah. You know, like it was still really fun. But I'll never fucking do that again. You know, I would never go down that road again.
You were so scary. I remember picking you up at the airport when you came home from that 3-month trip.
I was jacked.
You were jacked. You were so tanned. Your hair, your facial so hair, tanned. your head hair, so long.
Fuck.
I loved it.
I looked like a fucking wildebeest.
Yeah, I know, loved
I know.
It.
I look back at, I know. I look at photos of it and I'm like, damn, dude.
That's my fiance. That's my fiance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I say. I look back at those photos of me and I go, damn, dude. Your bride is fiance.
Oh God.
Well, babe, let's wrap this up.
I agree.
Fuck, man, I got therapy in 20 minutes, man. Fuck,
you
me.
Are ready to just really, keep this on rolling.
I'm not looking forward to it. It's going to be hard.
Just say right off the bat, go. I'm gonna cry. It looks worse than it actually is. Yeah. Don't panic, and then go for it. That's how I preface my crying.
I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but my first therapy appointment, my homework was to, because I'm an experiential avoider and I tend to burn out. And so I have all these like bad habits. And one of the things that I don't do is I try not to let myself cry or let myself get swallowed up in crying because I overwhelm myself with that emotion and I kind of get lost in it a little bit. Kind of like how Heath Ledger got lost in his character, the Joker. And so I'm afraid that like, if I cry too, if I go into it too hard, it's going to like break me. Anyway. So my homework was to watch a really sad movie and to feel the feels of watching a sad movie. And I was working up towards it and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then Bigby died. And I was like, oh, well,
no need.
No need for a sad movie because my life is a sad movie now, and so I did a lot of homework and a lot of feeling those feelings when that was happening. But now I got to like report back, and you know, I feel like it's gonna be fun. Like, I'm gonna see my therapist. I'm gonna be like, well, what's happened since the last time I saw you? I've fallen in love and my dog died, and he's gonna be like, but
nah,
oh.
He's a professional. God. He'll handle it. He'll handle you.
Yeah, he will. All right, I love you.
I miss you.
When are you coming home?
End of September.
Better hurry up, because I think Leah's trying to move in here.
Does she know the house is for sale?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I love you.
Have a really.
And I'm glad that we're still together and doing stuff like this, and having these conversations that like really is just for us, and we're just letting tens of thousands of people just listen.
So thank you all so much for listening, and
hey, thanks. Yeah, thanks for listening to our couples therapy hangout together. We do love you, and if you want to watch all this fun shit, go to patreon.com/turnmeon, become a patron, and you can get access to. I mean, there's lots of other things that are there, but there's merch. You can get access to merch, but you can get access to these video recordings of our podcast, which we are doing our four plays. But today, God damn it, y'all just got a full episode, so that's pretty
bonus.
Goddamn cool. Big time bonus. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners, bigger thank you to all of our patrons, and keep on sending us your brain boners, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. keep sending us your booty pics. Try to keep the booty hole out of the pic. Can't post that one. We just take care out there.
Just take care. Just take care out there, folks. Just take care of each other.
Take care out there. All right. Just take care of one another. You know, hug each
Ask
other.
For consent.
Oh, actually, don't do that. Don't hug each other.
Write a loving letter. But make sure you're wearing your rubber gloves and you spray that thing down with some sanitizer before you open it.
That's right. That's right. And if you're fucking, wear a mask and only do it doggy style and use glory holes. All right, folks, that is it for this week. Go fuck yourself.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.